of insight, a dimension of understanding. You are entering the place where reality collides with truth. There are no limits. There are no boundaries. This is Off Planet Radio.
Welcome you back to the second hour of Off Planet Radio Live on the Liberty Beacon Media Network. I'm Randy Moggins, and the website is offplanetradio.com. And if you're listening on the stream, it's tlbtowncrier.com is the network. And my thanks to Sheriff Richard Mack, who you heard in the latter half of the first hour. What a compelling insight that was into the mind of a constitutional lawman, somebody that actually has the concept of enforcing the beginnings of this country in terms of law and morality. It's a kind of a rare concept. This hour, my guest comes to us. He's been on with us before several times, and he returns from a long hiatus. And he writes on his website about the future of the human condition that, quote, "We all knew that the human navigation system was to be hijacked by the tetratic management of financiers of the world for political purposes. We knew that humans would merge with machines and life extension technology would be secretly hidden from the public and kept for the so-called elites with whom would attempt a new global society. This is currently underway, and a fair illustration of that ideology can be experienced in a film entitled Elysium, starring Matt Damon. However, we also knew that although there would be a sinister plot to take over the central nervous system and biological health of mankind, there would be a counter-revolution. Welcome back to Off Planet Radio, James Martinez. Good evening, James.
Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. That opening salvo there kind of gives us, I think, a fair amount of space to talk about, because it's kind of like almost feels like your current manifesto.
Yeah. I'm glad you introed there, because it's a great place for me to start, because anybody that knows my history, when I was working with Walter Boehrert in post-Operation Mind Control, when we were doing Volume 2, we knew that most of the human biology had already been hijacked or polluted via the foods, and that there was an agenda to actually change the biological makeup and construction of a human being for political purposes. And we knew that this was the backbone of a much larger goal to terraform the entire planet into a different way, and then eventually leave for the stars, which obviously on this network we can talk about, that's already been going on.
Yeah. So the breakaway civilization.
Sure. So which leads me to why I wanted to come here and tell you that this particular talk we're doing here, some of it, you can go anywhere you want, will include my how I got involved with nanotechnology and why I wanted to see to it that the public wakes up to this fact, and that they should be have a hands-on legislative kind of cognitive liberty about how they're going to run their own nervous system. Because it seems to me, from everything that I'm seeing and hearing about, and I'm dealing with myself, that the legislation of thought, value systems, everything is in total full effect. So my interest in getting into this, got into the Buckminster Fullerian C60 nanotechnology was merely because I thought that the public deserved a method in which they could extend their lives themselves with their own existing biology and kind of do their own experiment using the first beginning stages of nanomedicine. Because, as you know, and I can say this here, the public health system has, we're not interested in keeping you healthy. We're interested in charging you, keeping you unhealthy, have you take our drugs to make us money, and then when we feel like it, we're going to take you down. And then we can calculate that with how much you're going to be making and use you and harvest you as you are. And from this attitude of certain people on this world that have that, I personally think I've had enough of that, as have millions probably of others, hence my involvement in getting involved with this nanotechnology.
Yeah, I mean, it's already codified in the Unaffordable Health Care Act, also known as Obamacare. I mean, basically, that codifies eugenics on a mass scale, and exactly like you said, they've basically decided what our value to so-called society is, and then appropriately they will meter us into measured care until the point where we've reached terminus, and then, of course, we will be jettisoned off the planet.
Yeah, pretty much. That's how I would concur. Yes, and then with the general attitude of the American public right now, they have done such a great engineering job on the nervous system of humans, just because of the electrocution rate and all the invisible dirty electricity and whatnot.
I was just talking about that the first hour, about the fact that basically we no longer have control of our nervous system, and we're no longer able even to enjoy the solace of our own mind.
Yes, pretty much. That is something that nobody wants to deal with, nobody wants to talk about, nobody wants to add into the kind of ideology of what has happened to the moral bankruptcy of the United States, pretty much. They don't want to even go there. They can barely handle anything else, let alone introducing that into the, wedging that in as a part of the conversation.
And in the midst of all of this, and again, I did this open rant the first half hour, where I said basically they've understood for a long time that we were heading towards what is loosely called ascension. In other words, humanity scheduled awakening, which is just, you know, it's part of esoteric lore as well as, you know, I think general discernment. And the way to basically blast that out from underneath us was this plan to destroy our nervous systems, destroy our biological systems, and also take us down with the cognitive dissonance that we have from the media.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the current big meme of the day right now is the strangulation of this guy, the gentleman that was murdered by the cops. Mm-hmm. Now, that story, because of the way we're set up and how the stimulus response ratio is, and people, wherever they're getting their information from and how it's impacting their own biology, this particular event has struck the chord, and now everybody's gone berserk over it, which is interesting to me, because most of the time, most people will not engage themselves if somebody is under duress, shall we say. Somebody's hurt. Like, in other words, I mentioned this to somebody today, but there could be somebody sitting on a bench waiting for a bus that's been dead for 3 days, and nobody would even notice here, because it's completely desensitized to, there's no empathy, other than which they're getting through some screen, but in terms of actual contact, that's gone. That's been manufactured out. Finished.
Yeah, I mean, that is the point. And when you say looking at a box, basically, that's part of this electronic environment that we live in now, because most people are more connected to their mobile device than they are to the living flesh and blood human being standing next to them in online. Yes. In a bank or someplace.
Yeah, yeah. And you know me, I've spoken about this for years. It's really one of my primary areas of irritation is the destruction of social space and what that does onto just human contact, talking to somebody face to face, and what the interference of this has done and how it's affected our social values, or how we respond to people, what prioritizes communication. Now, as you know, a text is way, 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 way more important than your husband, wife, or even child. And people were willing to die to make sure that they respond to that text because the instantaneousness and just the complete total pressure on the nervous system to respond. You know, when you get a text, you don't have to respond ever if you don't want to. But now it's reprioritized in the individual's value system. And it's just that in itself completely changes the playing field of how people move information now.
Oh, no, people get upset with me, though. Well, I saw you online, but you didn't respond, or I sent you a text message, and I didn't hear back from you. And I'm like, you know, I don't live on my computer, and I don't always have my phone with me. It's on, so you might have perceived that electronically there was a pulse there. That wasn't me. And, you know, it's an important distinction to make because this is actually exactly how they are merging us into electronic devices. This is actually what you were writing about in that article and what you've been talking about for a long time, James, is the fact that they have used what is effectively an entertainment media. They gave us first an iPod, and then they glued a phone onto it. And then pretty soon everybody was walking around with earbuds in, getting mowed over by buses because they weren't paying attention. And now we've got this device that is basically one step away. If you look at Google Glass right now, we're one step away from the definitive moment when they go, look, we've got all these external devices. We got the iWatch. We got the Google Glass. But, you know, really, wouldn't it be so much easier if we just put the damn chip in your brain and we're done with it?
Yeah, that's exactly. And you know they'd be lining up for us.
I know they would. You would see them at the Apple store. They'd be there at midnight when Apple released the iChip.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's the kind of hypnotic acceleration of the nervous system jumping onto itself. Let's see if I can wait in line, and that'll get it faster inside me. It's just ridiculous.
So when you introduced the meme of human nanotech, and I sort of did this deliberately when I put out the meme for the show. I just left it kind of dangle there, human nanotech, because it's ominous enough, it's creepy enough that it gets the attention. And again, it kind of serves, I think, as a pattern interrupt in a way that gives you an angle into redirecting this flow that's going on right now. This idea that, wait a minute, yes, there is a nanotech, and yes, there is something that you can use that's positive that will actually do the opposite of what they're trying to do to us right now.
Right. It's kind of a take back your power thing, type thing. When I first heard about the Buckminster Fullerene, I was in Colorado. I met an engineer and a scientist. And the scientist was just rambling on about it. And as soon as he said nanotechnology and the Buckminster Fullerene, or C60 as he's calling it, I said, well, wait a minute, you're ingesting that? And he goes, oh, yeah, I've ingested it for a while. And I said, and then they went into this ramble about what it was. Now, I knew that the nanotechnology was the hidden hand and the secret that's been sprayed on most of the public, and they don't even realize it yet.
Yeah.
Even though that information's out, but that the impact of what that means is not really, people's not got onto that yet at all. So when I found out about the C60, I knew that there had been preliminary experiments using the C60 for life extension, and that there was indications that the telomeres in cells, which are related to aging, they'd be extending and they'd last longer and be stronger. And these tests were I knew they were coming out, but I also knew that the nanotechnology or nanoscience was going. That was the place where the elites want to be. That's mm-hmm. where. After you got all the money, you've done everything you could possibly imagine. Why not extend your life? And this is the area that is going to be the future of medicine. And the C60 itself, right now, the stuff that selling now, is without a doubt the strongest antioxidant anywhere, period. And one dropper full of that is conservatively at least a billion buckyballs in there, which wash out of your system in 8 to 12 hours, sometimes longer, depending on if you've got food in there and what you're digesting and so forth. And we've gotten quite a bit of feedback on this already. So I'm pretty excited about it because I wanted to bring something that the public could use so they can control that better control over their neurology and biology. Because, you know, you can eat as much organic food as you want. You're still getting sprayed on, okay? So you can eat and grow your gardens and eat your organic food and exercise 3-8 times a day, but you're still getting sprayed on, generally. And they don't even realize it yet. So most of the public doesn't believe that. So this is why I got into this, because I wanted a countermeasure to be put out there for the public to kind of take their power back.
Yeah, when you're talking about that, I kind of envision these nanite machines, which, as you've pointed out, the public doesn't know yet about the nanites that have been sewn into the aerosoling that's been going on in the skies over America and around the world since 1998. And they're not aware of how altered they've actually become as a result of these nanites being placed into their bodies, and I'm picturing this like robot war going on in the bloodstream, kind of like that. Gosh, what was that movie back in? Must have been the 70s, Inner Voyage, where they shrunk a spaceship down and it went into the bloodstream of the body, and they take you through this whole journey. I kind of picture that whole thing. It's, pardon me.
Yeah.
It's the mushroom speaking.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I can relate, exactly. It's interesting because the public, because it's been trained to be desensitized from violence entirely, the fact that a president could come in and declare a biological war through Monsanto on the public, and everybody act like that's okay, that's perfectly fine, and barely anybody even responds or even thinks about what's happened. Now, granted, now there's just way more education going on. But all these other countries have outlawed it. But we still have to deal with that. We have to put up with that. Which is just amazing to me that people do that type of assault, because it's a different type of assault. They should take that as seriously as somebody putting a gun to their face. That's what I think. But most of the public, no. Wait a minute, I got to get a text. Wait a minute, there's a basketball game. It's very interesting, but I got to go. it's a complete, total disconnect for that.
Yeah, I got to go. I got another call. Hold on, I got to take another call. No, wait a minute, there's another call. Right. It's on my other phone. Wait a minute,
yeah.
It's a text. Wait, no, it's a Facebook.
No,
help me.
No, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's attention
right.
deficit theater on steroids.
Correct. Exactly. Which, and it's, I still think, and I've said this before, and you probably would agree, that the medium of radio, minus the pictures, because of there's less stimulus, and there's only sound and the space between the words and the words that determine the user's experience, that I still think that the radio is still one of the best ways to move information, still.
I do, too. And I've, you know, it's funny because I've dabbled with video. And I find, first off, the process of video to be technically, well, it's a hell of a lot of work to do a video. But not only that, you now have visual space to fill up. And anybody that's done video editing, anybody that's ever done any type of cinematography, anything, knows the art of that is to do it in a way that maintains continuity and allows the user to interact with the imagination. I mean, that's the art of filmmaking in a nutshell. And so attempting to communicate in video, for especially on the scale that we operate, it's not real doable. But when you do the spoken word, when you do the voice, and as you pointed out, the space between the words, the ability to modulate, the ability to counterpunction words and basically formulate memes using just the vocal cords is an entirely grounded communication method. It connects viscerally. I mean, you can listen to it in a room, you can put it in earbuds, you can play it in the car, it's portable, and at the same time you interact in a space where your mind is able to visualize and develop a flow that you don't get when you have all that visual stuff.
Absolutely. Yep. I concur.
Where do we factor in, I wonder how many people now actually remember or know who Buckminster Fuller was and the impact that he had on the culture. I grew up at the end of the 60s, early 70s, and his footprint was still pretty large, but today he seems like he's kind of disappeared off of the landscape a bit, at least in terms of pop culture. Can you kind of elucidate a little bit on Buckminster Fuller and how he factors into what we're talking about tonight?
Sure. The being a famous architect, he was also a futurist as well, and there's interesting things coming out now, and a lot of people are putting quotes of his up all over the place because we're seeing the deterioration of the work week and the amount of workers. And I just saw the other day there's a big quote about him indicating that a human being shouldn't have to work 5 days a week. It's interesting because his architecture got quite well known when he created these geodesic domes. The geodesic domes that he put on at the World Fair, because he was trying to reconstruct the way humans interact with not only with physical space, but how to use that physical space energetically as well. So the geodesic dome happens to be the shape and look of the buckyball or the Buckminster Fullerene. That's the cross link there. When Harold Croteau and Heath and Curl won the Nobel Prize in 96 in chemistry, when they said what the buckyball looked like, they said, well, it's made of 20 hexagons and 12 pentagons and with a carbon atom at each vertex. And it looked exactly like one of Buckminster Fullerene's, or Buckminster Fuller's, geodesic domes, which is interesting because he was a futurist. And it's ironic to me that, he made something that big for the world to see. And now, it's this tiny, something very, very tiny, is named after him. And what's even more interesting is the shape and the size of it. It's not just here on Earth, it's in space as well, and has a bunch of unusual properties, not just being an antioxidant. It seems to affect the recovery rate of muscles. I'd noticed that immediately when I had it the first week. So to answer your question, that's the relationship between the Buckminster Fullerene C60 and Bucky Fuller. And Bucky Fuller looks like he's another one of these guys where his popularity may rise again because of this new area in nanomedicine. Because it's not just nanomedicine; it's nanotechnology itself, which is going to be the total. It's going to pretty much take over everything. I saw the nanotechnology phones, which you can bend all over the place that Samsung has now. And the various prototypes of those a couple generations ahead. And people are not going to believe what's coming in terms of the phone. I mean, it's over because most of the public's gone anyway into their own phone. But now it's going to be like a skin, and you can bend it all and throw it across the room, and it'll still work. So it's going to be quite an interesting future.
Well, you just you brought up an interesting point. You're going from the macro down to not just micro, but submolecular, and on top of it, it's carbon. The most fundamental element. I mean, it's what we are. We are carbon beings.
Yep.
And the antioxidant effect of these things. Let me just kick this because I trial tested them. Both of us trial tested them. One of the first things that I noticed was within days, mental clarity became very pronounced. I mean, it was like your mind just starts snapping along. It's incredible how quick you become when you start taking this. Because all of a sudden, you know, if you can visualize how this is working, it's cleaning out your system. All these oxidants are clogging up valuable artery space, the body's systems, and what you begin to notice is that you get a clarity. That's one of the first things that I noticed about it.
That's exactly right. We've heard people talk about this kind of perceptual clarity, clearer thinking, faster, almost like a neuroplasticity upgrade of sorts with the use of it. And I would suggest that everybody look into this and research it themselves and look into it. There's loads of papers and tons of research on this. It's the very beginning. It's very, very well documented. In fact, there's a lot of information coming out with Alzheimer's and C60 consumption and some of the feedback that's coming back from that. I mean, I not only have heard about the clarity, but I've heard about from athletes increase in muscle strength and recovery rate, and lactic acid is not preeminent. In other words, when people get really sore after working out very hard and tearing muscles, essentially what's happening when, like, bodybuilders do, they tear, and that's what creates the soreness. The recovery of that lactic acid and the new fibers and the new cells and all that stuff that would make more muscle mass is drastically reduced. Like, the bodybuilding market, which is just all chemicals, the whole thing, that whole business is built on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They don't even know about this really yet. They have no idea. They have no idea. They're soon to hear about it sooner or later, but they'd be all over this, for starters.
On the surface, it seems like a rather simple product. I mean, it's a dark, inky black liquid suspended in oil. And maybe you want to talk about that a little bit. You and I have both talked to Bob Greska, the engineer behind this project. There's some distinctive characteristics about this particular formulation of C60 as opposed to, it's not an exclusive product. There's a lot of people selling it out there, but there are aspects to this C60 formulation that people would want to sit up and take notice about.
Oh, definitely. If they go to jamesmartinezmedia.net, there'll be a section in there on C60 as well as a link to get it if they want it. But there's more importantly, when they're doing their research, which I suggest people do all over the place, go to listen to the two interviews there with Bob Greska. He was the engineer that I met with that manufactured this, and his is different because it's his is suspended in sunflower oil. It's a different oil than the olive oil that's out there that's currently seems to be quite popular. What happens is the way he's manufacturing, he manages to get more buckyballs, a more concentrated level of buckyballs suspended in that particular oil that he's using. And he goes in and explains what the difference is. And I would suggest people listen to that, just so they know, like, when they're spending their money, well, it's $30 over here, and it's $20 here, and whatever. It's all in how it's manufactured. It's all carbon. It's all carbon. But it's the amount of buckyballs and the how it's suspended that determines. Because any buckyball is essentially going to do the same, will do the same thing when it enters the body. It's just going to attach itself to the free radicals and crap and start cleaning out. It's like a cellular colonic of sorts.
I was thinking a micro garbage man.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
One of the things about this, and like I said, I've talked to Bob as well, is that this is a his exclusive manufacturing. What am I trying to say here? The manufacturing of this has to do with the fact that they're not using solvents for one thing, and it is a proprietary formula that was based on Bob's experience as an engineer, and he actually worked in the aerospace industry.
That's right. That's right. So when I was in my initial talks with him, this was a new area. I knew about nanotechnology, but I didn't know extensively about C60 and the different ways it's manufactured. And it's only manufactured in like five or six places in the world at the moment. His happens to be the, without a doubt, the most concentrated and the best engineered, because he's been in the nanocarbon area as an engineer for a long time. And he told me with one dropper full, some people were like taking three a day or something, just in a half dropper full, there's plenty there to do the job. In other words, because some people are thinking, well, you know, how long is this going to last? How much do I take? And da da da. Most people, I take a dropper full a day. Some people, you don't need to do that. You can do a half dropper and it'll last longer. And you're still going to get just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of buckyballs doing their thing.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a product, again, that you scale to your own needs. Most people who experience it will, over probably a 14-day period, because that's 14-21 days is generally considered an evaluation period for anything that's biological, will find what their own pace is for this. And I mean, people who are athletes are gonna probably have a different need than somebody who's going for, like me, getting the mental clarity, cleaning out the system. I mean, I'm still detoxing from my battle last year with that horrible infection I have. I mean, I'm still dealing with the results of the antibiotics that they dumped into my system. So for me, anything like this, I'm using in combination with other modalities as well to regain wholeness.
Absolutely. When I first heard about this, and I said, you know what? Everybody in the United States should be taking this every day. And I can say that with absolute authority only because I know the background of what's being done to people's health. On purpose, by design, sanctioned. Somebody signed off on it. Somebody agreed. Somebody got paid to do it, to take you down. So I think that, you know, this is the countermeasure to deal with that. I personally take offense that some people have decided, well, we're busy. We don't need you. You don't have a right to be here. So we're just going to, like, you know, here, eat this, drink this, and get out of our face and give us some money on the way out. And well, that's the attitude that I feel that they're doing. Most people probably don't view it that way, but it's a personal attack that you've got to go around with a magnifying glass to determine what type of food you're going to eat to feed your children to keep them safe and healthy.
Trying to read ingredients labels that are written in half-point fonts on the back of a red label.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So this is like taking back your power, taking back your neurology, getting control of your intake and what is going to be in your body. because it's yours. It's not somebody else's, even though they think they own it legally. I know all that. You know what I mean.
Yeah, I do. Again, you know, this is a preemptive strike against the pharmaceutical industry, the GMO industry, all of the assaults that are going on. We talked earlier about the aerosoling chemtrails, nanites that are being introduced. But the quality of life has never been lower than it is right now. I mean, most of us are living in some kind of urban environment, so we're ingesting the obvious carbon. Well, here we are. We're back to carbon again, but we're talking about carbon monoxide, which is a poison in the blood system. And we need to offset all of these biological agents that are causing us to go down so quickly. And it strikes me that the preemptive way to do it is to take a product like C60 and view it as a preemptive strike against the biological assault that we're undergoing.
Oh, absolutely. This doesn't just have to be taking back your own inherent right to your health, God-given right, however you want to put it, to your own health. It's about readjusting who's in charge, the moral police. The moral police that have been running the show, and you know about this, they're not very moral at all. So it's about empowering the individual and person themselves. That's really what. That's why I got involved with it.
Yeah, I'm struck here too by this idea that look, right now is a golden opportunity for people. I don't know if they know this or not. You just got screwed out of your health insurance, right? I mean, look, I work in corporate America. I just lost my health insurance. My company said, look, you know, the cost of this, it's going up 45% this year. We can't afford this anymore. We're buying you out. Go to healthcare.gov and see what you can shop there, because that's what the government wants you to do. And I'm like, really? Well, that's pretty interesting. So you're going to pay me to not have health insurance. Well, let's see. This was the medical system that last year diagnosed me, almost killed me twice, and tied me up for almost 2 months because they were too inept to be able to isolate an infection in my body. And when they did finally decide to treat it, they decided that surgery and heavy doses of antibiotics, which I was allergic to, was the best course to go. So I'm thinking, okay, so it's death over here, or I can fend for myself and I can find viable things. And there's some money on the table. And there's a lot of people that are in this position right now where they make decisions. You make decisions about where you spend your money. Do you spend your money on the pharmaceutical industry? Do you spend it eating the GMOs? Or do you lay all that aside and go, wait a minute, there are products out there that are cost-effective ways for me to get around being inside of this pathological healthcare system. And so I'm looking at this. It's pathological.
Right. Yeah.
It is pathology on steroids. You have better chance. You want to hear a funny quote? I had an attorney tell me the best place to be in a hospital if you want to survive is standing on the ledge on the 14th floor.
That is so true. It's so true. And so sad at the same time. It's supposed to be the opposite of that. We're here to save you. We're here to help you. And now everything's backwards in society now. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's all an inversion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So products like this come along now, and we have an opportunity to begin applying better economics to our health, to make choices, and to make choices that will not only yield personally, but what better way to kick them in the teeth than to go, you know what, screw you, I'm not taking your poisons anymore. I'm going to try something better. I'm going to try something alternative. This is really, you know, when you look at Buckminster Fuller, he's kind of like Tesla. He was a hidden genius. He was high profile for a while. And like you said earlier, I think he's due for a comeback.
Right. Yes. Yeah. People will rediscover him through C60, through nanotechnology itself, and there'll be a kind of resurgence to what he was all about. There's tons of information about him online that I'm sure you've taken a look at. Yep, I agree.
So can we call this Operation Mind Control, what, 2.0?
Yeah, exactly. Hello.
Very good. You picked up on that, huh?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, good. Yeah, this is getting neurological control back of your life. One method. There's many methods, but this one is very, very, very unique. Very unique. Because I'm lucky enough that I found an engineer that's unlike the others that are out there, that knows exactly what this is, and he knows, having used it himself, and he's had lots of people in his state and out of state that have contacted him with incredible results. Doctors. He's got lots of doctors that want it to take for themselves.
You know,
there's plastic surgeons. It's really has great value for plastic surgeons and people that have plastic surgery or any scarring. We've seen a lot of improvement in skin that's being used in various cosmetics. Now the C60 is in that, but how is it manufactured and what's it suspended in when they put it in there? That's really what it comes down, because it's all because carbon, right? Mm. So it really comes down to the manufacturing process and how it is suspended and whatever it's in. But this is going to completely change the cosmetic industry completely. Totally, because the cosmetic industry is based on the suggestion that you look beautiful and we're in charge of that. And if you go with us and spend money here, you'll get that. Well, sorry, the nanotechnology is in town now, so that changes the whole equation.
Well, and this is a so much better way to go. It's not lost on me that the cosmetic industry was an outgrowth of the mortuary industry. And good God, look at the people walking around in L.A. these days. I mean, they're embalmed on two legs now. And
right. Right. Basically, right. That's right. Yeah. Texting while they're doing it. Right.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, let's face it. God rest her soul. Joan Rivers, she was the poster child for that.
Sure.
But in a sense, I think this is a move back to something that is kind of natural. You know, when you were talking earlier about Buckminster Fuller, I don't think I ever shared this, but I was part of a group of people that erected a geodesic dome on a property when I was probably about 19 or 20 years old. And we built this thing, and when we began to use the structure, we noticed the energetic properties of the building itself. Aside from the fact that it was a bitchin' sound studio, we used to play music in this thing, we noticed the energetic properties of it as well.
Interesting, because they're going to take these geodesic domes, and there's a company right now that's using that's strictly going to be in the glass business, but they're going to put the nanotech inside the glass, and they're going to use this in various building components to heat your home using the sunlight to store it, and then it'll change color, but so will the temperature of your room.
Yeah.
So if you have sunlight coming in, this is the future of it. And I can see in the future probably that these geodesic domes will be heated using nanotechnology.
Absolutely. And because of the surfaces on them, they conduct energy in very interesting ways. That's one of the things that we had noticed in the surface or in this building was how energy circulated around it. It had a certain feng shui to it. But
yeah, exactly.
You made right an interesting point, and I want to draw back to it again, because we're moving from the outer to the inner, and in a sense, there's a symmetry with all of this that we're moving this polygonal structure of carbon into the system of our bodies, which again we're talking. Aside from the obvious antioxidant effects themselves, I can't help but think the geometry itself has some meaning to the body in terms of interpreting symbols and mathematical forms, that that this micro expression itself is an energetic pattern.
Trying to express this, it's abstract. No, it's totally abstract. And when I was reading the data quite some time ago about them saying that these buckyballs are in space as well, I thought, isn't that interesting? They're not just here on Earth. They're in space. They're in the body. But this way in which it's shaped geometrically has some relationship to us. And we are probably not the only ones here. That there's some kind of pattern within. There's information in that buckyball. Something's going on there. There's a lot written about there because it has... physicists are saying that it has kind of quantum effects, and there's a lot of mystery to it. That's what's really interesting about it, that particular field, because there's quite a bit. I read some about that, and because I was looking at the shape of it, and I saw a painting where they were showing these buckyballs flying through space, and I went, something much bigger is going on here. I'm not quite sure what it is, but I think with all the research and R&D that's going on with it right now, that this is just the beginning. I think it's one of the probably, it's going to be the preeminent shift in the human condition that will allow us to deal with the humongous ethical issues of overpopulation, health itself, who has a right to it, who doesn't. All these effects are going to come out of this. But I think in the end, nanotechnology will allow us to live in space on a biological level. That's what I think it's going to end up affecting most.
Wow, that's an interesting concept. It is very consistent with the work that... you and Walter Boert did in formulating your strategies a long time ago. I don't know how many people know. They can go back into the archives and listen to the interviews that we did about Walter. But he was examining things like this all the time. This was actually part of what he was kind of doing at the end of his life, wasn't he?
Yeah, at the end of his life, he was preparing and telling me all the future things that had been planned and what he had seen. But it's interesting, he was coming from a completely, totally different vantage point. He was trying to tell me that the way technology had been set up, the way people processed information, and the way people moved information, you could only see outside of that from his experience, by the use of psychedelics, which is how he figured a lot of it out, actually, is the use of psychedelics, which allowed him to see beyond what was coming next and to determine the trends that would be happening based upon the mindset of international bankers, because he was married to Peggy Hitchcock Mellon, and I heard all the inside story about the disease of richcraft. This is part of richcraft, this whole thing.
Yeah.
There's relationships between the disease of richcraft and those that that essentially own the earth and their attitude about us that just own an apartment in their house and what that cutoff is and why they are so righteous and entitled while thinking that others are not. And that is exactly where we've arrived today. So, and most of what he's told me, there's other stuff that has not happened yet. He mentioned that it's we discussed it at length, and I knew all about it way back when. And he knew that the eventually that the human condition or the human form would just totally change. We used to sit around, and one of the things he said is, James, you know, people who eventually voluntarily are going to go into tubes just the way they sit in front of the computer for 5 hours a day. They'll go into tubes, and it's going to be a virtual reality in there, and it's going to be even more fascinating, and that will be their life. And their physical body won't have any meaning anymore, and people won't even pay attention to it in the street. This was kind of summarized in that movie that Bruce Willis was in. It's called Surrogates.
Mm-hmm.
So he mapped that out. That's starting to happen because there is biological impact from people sitting in front of machines all day long. That's happening. People are fatter. People are less muscle acuity. All sorts of effects from that happening. So I learned a lot, but he figured it out because he knew that, which is why he was so pro-psychedelics, is because that returned people to the heart. Because the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. And he knew that. And this is why the war on drugs and that whole thing that's being played out all has to do with legislating and controlling value systems inwardly. That's what it's all about. Operation Mind Control is about controlling human value systems, whether it's done synthetically or whether it's done for the betterment of your brother or sister out on the street. That's what it's about.
And to that end, I guess at this point we announced to the world the release of the C60, and we can now begin to harvest the effects of these in our own lives. I've been using them, since fall, autumn, and I've dropped them off a number of times, but going back into them again, I see the effects almost immediately. It's like a couple of days and you begin to notice things. You notice, and in my case, it was the acuity, the mental acuity, just the quickness that the mind moves. But
yeah, it's like a boost of neuroplasticity.
Yeah, that's a perfect way to summarize it. Yeah.
And what's interesting is when I first heard about this, I'm like, you know, when they made the Bourne Supremacy, the Bourne Legacy, it was all about neurological enhancement
mm-hmm.
of individuals that were killers or assassins. And I said, you know what? The public should have all. If they're doing it, the public should have it. And part of the first step of that will be C60. It'll be used as an antioxidant, but it's all going to be used as a delivery system with nanobots and stuff like that to various organs, and you can direct them. And all this stuff has been written about, and it's already begun. This the whole thing is starting. It's really I don't know if it's an exciting or a dangerous time at all. It's definitely at the crossroads for sure.
Well, we got a couple of minutes left here, and tell people what you want to have them know about your website, about current projects that you're working on, just kind of a quick brief update.
Okay, to get the C60, if you go to jamesmartinezmedia.net, scroll down there, there's going to be an icon called Buckminster Fullerene, or there's going to be a big picture of a buckyball there. You can go there, click on there, and there'll be some information that I put about the C60 there. There'll be two interviews there from the people involved at the very beginning who made this stuff. And then there's been an icon there to where to purchase it from. I'm going to be going out discussing more of this all over the place very soon. But also, to respond to some of your questions, without going into too many details for obvious reasons, I am currently involved in the international, currency reset mm-hmm. that's happening with new banks that are opening that I'm involved in. And I'm also involved in the ongoing deployment of fusion, cold fusion. I'm very involved with that. And at some point, I've taken like an ethical, not really an ethical, but more of a tactical strategy to talk less about that until a certain point. And then I'm going to talk a lot about it because there is a lot going on. And this is probably the most important thing to say right now with everybody that's going to be listening to news, if they even get this far. After 6, 7, 10,000 years of the way we've done currencies and the way we've lived in a scarcity society, scarcity economies, that's over. That's over now. It's totally over. The G8, the G20, all the big banks, all the big currency reset, all those things, Those are over now. All their calculations are wrong because they're not including free energy in their models. None of them. They won't even talk about it. They're
We're terrified. Already just beginning to see the effects right now of the destabilization of the petrodollar. We're seeing petroleum prices collapse, and ultimately this is a collapse that's going to cascade into the system.
Yes. Yep. And the more people know about it, the safer we're going to be, and the better decisions people will make. Because people are not going to realize in the future that there's cold fusion and fusion going on, and they're still going to be charged the same rate or more. They're not even going to even know that's going on. It's going to cause a huge problem, and nobody wants to deal with that, but that's what's coming.
So what you need to do is get the Buckyballs, C60, JamesMartinezMedia.net. James, thanks for coming on. It felt like old times again. Stay on the line. I'm going to close out the show. Next week, we'll be back 2 hours next week. Savon Bomar will be here. He is the author of Decoding the Matrix. He decrypts symbols and words, and he is a spiritualist, and he is going to talk about ascension and what we are looking for as the human race heads into its next level of development. That's next week on Off Planet Radio Live. I'm Randy Moggins. This is the Liberty Beacon Media Network. This is Off Planet Radio at offplanetradio.com. The truth is out there. It's inside you. Keep looking for it.
You are listening to Off Planet Radio at offplanetradio.net and offplanetradio.com.
This is Off Planet Radio. We'll be right back.